And travel mercies then for you all as well. Absolutely. Yeah. So all right. So the sermon title's wrong. Okay. The sermon title is wrong. That's not what. See, the problem is I do these like months and months in advance, and then I think it's going to be. And so, what do you see? That's the sermon title. In case you want to write it down, I don't know why that matters, but in case you want to do that, because I actually, before I even talk about what you see, I want to talk to you. Did you notice this week we have two holidays? Did you notice that? I mean, I've already talked to you about Memorial Day. I'm sure the rest of you, all right, Ascension Day on Thursday. What? Ascension Day is on Thursday. You probably already got your Ascension Day trees up, don't you? You probably already mailed your happy Ascension Day greeting cards. I'm sure you have. You probably already have your Ascension Day bunnies and baskets. You probably got your Ascension Day turkeys and hams. You probably got your Ascension Day favorite family traditional dishes, and you're looking forward to that. You got your Ascension Day packages and gifts all wrapped up underneath your Ascension Day trees. You're just so excited. Thursday is Ascension Day, and you're so excited about it. And then there's other of us who just can't wait for all this Ascension Day hoopla to just die down. Go away. So Ascension Day is Thursday. Thursday. This year, that's May 30th, but Ascension Day floats because it has to do with Easter. Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter. And it's the day that the church remembers, you might remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended. See how that works so well? Ascension Day, Jesus ascended. All right, that's when Jesus ascended, 40 days after Easter. And then if you've read the book of Acts, you know. And then they all gathered in the upper room, and they waited 10 days. And then what happened? Pentecost. You remember how all that worked? Ascension Day is Thursday. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that just a powerful? And you say, Don, really, you don't get any more vacation. You've just gone off the wagon in every way possible. You're not wearing your robe. You're talking about Ascension Day trees, and there's no such thing. And just accept this. When Jesus ascended, he not just physically left us, he left us the mission and ministry. He left us his mission and ministry. He left us. He left that to us. He's not physically here anymore. He left that to us. Here, you all, continue to share the good news of God's love. Continue to share the news of God's grace. I'm leaving this to you, the care of my people, of my flock, of my children. I'm entrusting them to your care. I'm leaving it to you. So I'm talking about Ascension Day, and I'm talking about the mission left to us, because in the scripture reading we heard Susan read to us, all right, we heard about two people. We heard about Lydia, and we heard about Paul. We heard about both of those people. Now one of the nice things that we get to hear when we hear about Lydia, Lydia is the very first convert on the continent of Europe. Very first convert. Very first person who accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and was baptized in her name, and the whole continent of Europe. The very first person, Lydia. Lydia. And then the Bible tells us a little bit about Lydia, because she's like one of those pop-up characters in those children's books. You turn the page and there she pops up. You hadn't heard about her before, but there she is. And there's Lydia. And you say, well, who's Lydia? And so Luke, who wrote Acts, tells us a little bit more about Lydia. He says, Lydia sold purple cloth. Well, you know, 2019, who cares? But back in that day, purple cloth? Oh, that's rare. That's rare stuff. Only two groups of people could have purple cloth. super, super rich and the super, super powerful. They're the only ones who could have purple cloth. That's who Lydia sold the purple cloth to. Lydia, a seller of purple cloth. From, where was she from again? Thyatira. Thyatira. Now you remember from your world history classes, I know you do, as we're coming to the end of school and finals are coming up and you need to know Thyatira, where is that? Oh yeah, that's in modern day Turkey. Yes, yes, but more than that, that was the dye capital of the world at that time. That was the dye capital of the world. That's where she was from. She who sold that rare, precious cloth of purple. Died in Thyatira, where she was from. And some of you who are scholars might remember in the book of Revelation, remember how that goes? The letter to the seven churches. One of them to the church at Thyatira. Now, I'm bringing all of this up because in our passage today, we hear about Paul, and he goes over there to Philippi, and Lydia hears God's feels God's Spirit move in her heart, and she receives Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. But more than that, she does something with it. And at the end of the worship service, she comes up to Paul and Silas and says, "Hey, if you think I'm being sincere about this, if you think I'm faithful to God about this, I would love to have you all come over to my house." And they're like, no, it's okay. No, really, I insist. Come to my house. Come to my home. What an amazing gift. Lydia. Lydia, the first convert in Europe. Lydia, seller of purple cloth. Lydia, from Thyatira. Lydia, an independent, wealthy woman. Back in those days, that was never heard of. She didn't need a husband. She didn't need a man. She was set herself. And the very first act she did was offer hospitality to two men she had never met before that day. Opened up her home before them because she had opened her heart before the Lord. Wonderful things begin to happen when you open your heart before the Lord. And that's what she did. And you say, okay, well, you know, they're starting churches. But later on, if you read through the book of chapter 16 of Acts, you're going to find out that Paul and Silas get crosswise with the authorities. They end up in jail. Yeah, next week you're going to find out about it. They come back next week. We're open every Sunday. Come back next week and you're going to hear about how they ended up in jail. And then they finally get released. Okay, they probably had a good attorney like Margaret. You know, had a good attorney. And they get out of jail. All right. And where do they go? Right back to Lydia's home. Now you'd think there'd have been some scandal involved. She's a leading citizen of Philippi. She's got high clientele. She can't be affording to have riffraff staying at her house. But no. Because when God moves in your heart, you don't see riffraff. Amen. You just see children. You just see opportunities. You just see a blessing that you have that you're able to share. That's what Lydia saw. In fact, we hear it today. Lydia. It's her house that became the church in Philippi. Her house. That's why they called them house churches. The church met in her house. And from there, the entire European mission started, spread from Lydia's gracious act of hospitality. Why mention Thyatira? Because what if when Thyatira, well, what if she went back to get more purple cloth back to her hometown? She said, "I've got more to share with you than just business stuff. Let me share with you the good news." See, we don't know who started the church in Thyatira. But isn't it interesting that Luke happened to mention it? The capital of the dye world, Lydia, purple, God's love. God's grace. How it can all work and weave. See, fabric, weave. I'm witty that way. Together. To have it work together. And how did it all start? It started with Paul. I know a lot of people have problems with Paul, and you know, Paul, you know. Everybody loves Lydia. Nobody likes Paul, you know. He's kind of a curmudgeon-y, old, sour-faced type of guy, you know. Except when you read the New Testament, Paul's the one always going out. He gets everybody mad because he keeps trying to put everybody in, and they're saying, we got enough already, and Paul says, no, we don't. There ain't no end to God's kingdom. There's room for more. Come on in. And they're saying, no, they haven't even washed their feet. They're dirty. They can't come in. No, it's okay. Come on, don't worry about it. It's all working that way. And you might remember how it started there in verse 9. Paul has that vision. Remember, he has that vision. All right? Paul is wanting to go to Asia. That's where Paul wants to go. He's in what we would call Turkey now. Now he wants to go to Asia. But God says no. But Paul says, but I have a dream about going to Asia. God says no. Go to Europe. Instead of taking a right, take a left. Go to Europe. Sometimes our dreams are smaller than God's bigger dream. Have you ever noticed that? How our tiny dream sometimes gets in the way of God's larger vision? Paul was okay with doing evangelism. He thought he was supposed to go this way. But he was open to the fact that God was redirecting him to a bigger dream, a bigger opportunity, one that he hadn't seen until God gave it to him. And so then Paul embraces that dream, but he doesn't embrace it so tightly, so legalistically, so narrowly, that when he gets there, he can't recognize the person who is establishing the church. You might remember in the vision that Paul had, it was a man. But when he got to Philippi, it was a woman. But God was able to recognize she's the chosen one. She's the one I have called to establish the church in Europe. Paul wasn't so narrow. But she's not Jewish. I don't care. But she's a woman. I don't care. He didn't allow the world to define where God was leading him and gave an opportunity to share God's grace, God's love, the good news of Jesus Christ. And in sharing that, Lydia embraces that. And from there, the ripple effect of the kingdom spreads throughout the entire continent of Europe. Paul had a vision. Answered there. Do you ever remember the dream catchers, Native Americans? You ever have a dream catcher? A dream catcher is a Native American device, and you put it where you go to sleep. And if you've ever seen one, you'll see that there's a net in the center. It's decorated with feathers and sometimes dried flowers and things like that. But right in the center is a net. And the idea is that it's called a dream catcher, so that it can catch all the dreams that are coming in. And it filters them out so that only the good ones get through. It filters out all the bad and negative dreams. Only allows the good ones to come through. Discernment is a hard thing to do sometimes. You ever been distracted by a dream, a vision? Why don't you ask me about my professional football career? That was my dream. See, I just knew, but they said, Don, you're small. I don't care, but Don, you're slow. I don't care, but Don, you're no good. I don't care. It became very obvious that that wasn't going to work. So I said, I'll be a musician. But Don, you don't know how to play music. But Don, you can't sing. But Don, well, okay, there was a lot of reasons why I wasn't going to make it as a musician. Those are... Talent, apparently, is one of the things required. That wasn't God's vision for my life. That wasn't God's dream for my life. Sometimes we need to filter out. We need to allow God's Spirit to work in our way that we can be discerning about where God is leading us. And not so wrapped up that it has to be a man and he has to look exactly the way it was in my vision and my dream that night. No. Is it the person anointed and appointed by God? And you don't know that till you begin to share the gospel. And when you share the grace, you see the Spirit move. And all of a sudden it lands on this woman named Lydia. And she receives it and embraces it and is empowered by it. That God's vision continues to be shared and God's grace continues to be spread. It's a powerful experience to be a part of that. each of us giving these opportunities, when we allow visions to come into our lives and the way they can inform us and the way that the ripple effect that it can have. Most of the time, sometimes I think when we can lose sight of that. I'm remembering one of my favorite cowboy movies, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Go ahead. I look like Sundance, don't I? It's okay. You right? Real tall, right? Muscular. It's not that funny. I have blonde hair. Well, okay, I used to have blonde hair. Anyways, in the movie, there's a great line. It's Butch Cassidy's line. Paul Newman says, "I have vision. The rest of the world is wearing bifocals." It's a great line. I'm reminded in Proverbs, all right, we're told, without a vision, the people perish. A vision. It can be powerful sometimes. It's not always rewarding. Philo Farnsworth had a vision. He had a great vision in a small house in Provo, Utah. He had a vision for a cathode receptor, and he died broke and discredited, and people took advantage of him, and it was terrible. He did not die with any type of fanfare or credit at all. But Philo was blessed with a brother-in-law who tried to support him. And I don't want to talk about Philo. I want to talk about the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law's name was Cliff Gardner. Now, chances are you probably never heard of Philo Farnsworth, and chances are really good you probably don't even know who Cliff Gardner is, except for that now I just told you he was Philo's brother-in-law. And he heard Philo's great idea in his small little house in Provo, Utah. And he said, "You know, Philo, I don't really have your head for science. I'm not that good of a scientist. I don't have a clue what you mean by a cathode receptor. I don't understand the design. I don't understand the mechanics. But I do know you're going to need some glass. I'm going to teach myself to be a glass blower." And that's what Cliff did. He learned how to be a glass blower so that he could help Philo with a cathode receptor, which we've never even heard about before. And Cliff died with even less recognition. No money, no fanfare, no recognition at all. And yet, the amazing thing about these two people with this vision is that each and every one of you, your lives, each and every one of you have an updated version of a cathode receptor in your home. You call it a television. A television. Yeah. Yeah. A television. One person had a vision. Another person had a vision of how he could help. Isn't that amazing? Paul had a vision for how God's kingdom could reach out to others. Lydia had a vision for how she could help. Thursday is Ascension Day. And we remember that not just because Jesus went up into heaven, but because he left the mission and ministry, his mission and ministry to us. We are the church, the body of Christ, sharing God's love, sharing God's grace. People like Paul, people like Lydia. What is God calling you to do? Amen.